This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. The Democratic National Convention kicked off in Philadelphia last night. Senator Hillary Clinton is expected to accept the Democratic nomination this week. That makes her the first woman to represent a major party in a presidential election. Clinton's campaign is the closest a female candidate has been to the presidency in U.S. history, but it's far from the first. Victoria Woodhull ran for president in 1872. Her candidacy made her a trailblazer during a time that predated even women's suffrage. A TV documentary about Woodhull called America's Victoria was produced in 1998, and I spoke with the filmmaker Victoria Lynn Weston of Georgia last April. I started the conversation by asking, what made Victoria Woodhull's story so unique?
A lot of people don't realize that even though Victoria Woodhull was the first woman, she was also the first woman before women even had the right to vote. But what's interesting about her is that she grew up dirt poor. She had a rather violent childhood. Her father, Buck Kaplan, he was basically a petty criminal, and he would go out and burn down the barns to try to collect the insurance money. And she didn't even go to grade school. I think when she started, she was more around the age of 8.
Let me interrupt you there for just a second, Victoria, and try to take us back to the time and place that we're talking about here. This is a clip from Scott Claflin, a descendant of Victoria Woodhull's, and he's talking about sort of what rights women had and didn't have in the late 1800s.
This was an era where a woman could not vote, could not enter a restaurant, a store, an establishment of any kind unless she was escorted by a man. It was controversial for women to do anything, but she had the foresight not to accept the way society was.
So she ran in 1872 representing the Equal Rights Party. How did that come about?
Well, it came about is when she basically became friends with Cornelia Vanderbilt and then married Colonel Blood, and then basically developed a male brain trust. And these men really liked Victoria Woodhull. They liked her voice, her gift of oration, and the fact that she was gorgeous. So it was General Benjamin Butler that had invited her to speak, and she was also the first woman to speak for the House Judiciary Committee in 1870. And she talked about the 14th and 15th Amendment and argued that women had the right to vote because they were simply taxpayers. And because you're a taxpayer, that gave you the right to vote. And at that point, the black people were allowed to vote at that point as well. But they denied any women voting at that juncture. So then what happened is she became so popular that the women's suffrage movement, you know, with Susan B. Anthony and Katie Stanton, and Victoria wanted to be part of that group. But even Susan B. Anthony didn't like that because Victoria had all these wonderful men, powerful, influential men around her, and she didn't like that. So they kind of shunned her. But that didn't stop her from moving on to the next step.
Right. Let's hear, actually, this is from the documentary film that you made. This is, an actress reading as Susan B. Anthony here.
If she were influenced by women's spirits, I might consent, but she is wholly owned and dominated by men's spirits, and I spurn the control of the whole lot of them.
And it seemed like, you know, this is a woman, I mean, I'm talking about Victoria Woodhull at this point. She was born poor, as you mentioned. She twice made her fortune and then lost it. She was a female stockbroker. She was a newspaper editor. This is a woman that was into a lot of things. That's fair to say, right?
Absolutely. Well, she was extremely ambitious. And she didn't really know where she was going to make her mark in the world. She knew that, you know, she was driven. She wanted to have success. And she had a bite of it, and then she'd lose it and then rebuilt it again. As far as the stockbrokers, again, her in Tennessee, they were known as the queens of finance. They were the first women to do that. And then she opened up a newspaper, Woodhull Claflin Weekly. And probably the thing that really, you know, was the first downfall with Woodhull is she deplored hypocrisy. She couldn't stand anybody that was a hypocrite. And back to the platform that she ran on, free love, equal rights for men and women, but the free love movement meant that if you were married, you shouldn't be confined by laws. That if a couple fell out of love, they should be free to move on to somebody else without having to go through, you know, a divorce and that sort of thing.
Right. It wasn't the free love that we think of from like the 1960s and 70s. She meant your freedom to marry and divorce and then, choose whether or not to have children without anybody interfering.
Right. So at that point, she decided that, you know, Reverend Henry Ward Beecher, who was one of the most popular liberal preachers at that time, that he should stand shoulder to shoulder with her and talk about this free love movement, because Beecher, after all, was having an affair in the church with Theodore Tilden's wife, after all. And she thought, well, here you're doing this behind closed doors. Come stand with me in the front, and let's go and let's campaign about this free love movement sort of thing. Of course, Beecher wouldn't have anything to do with that. He said, absolutely not. Well, that just really infuriated Woodhull, who decided to go ahead and write about him in the newspaper. Well, that infuriated further, you know, Beecher saying, oh, you're not going to do that. I'm going to have you, you know, arrested for libel and this, that, and the other. And it became, this big lawsuit, if you will, because Woodhull ended up having to go to jail on election day for libel. And, and that was because of Beecher and that.
And she, I mean, there was a lot of criticism of her paper that published opinions on things like sex education, women's suffrage, of course, wearing short skirts, vegetarianism, and also legal prostitution. But let's take a listen here. This is Amanda Friskin talking about the fact that as a pioneer, Victoria Woodhull, for women at least, is kind of a little bit of a tarnished heroine.
You want someone really beyond reproach. You want the George Washington for women, and you don't get that with Woodhull. She was a flawed first, but she's still the first.
Amanda Friskin wrote a biography about Victoria Woodhull, but you know, let's talk about Election Day. As far as I could find, we don't know if there was even any votes cast for her, correct?
Well, what I had found years ago was that there actually was votes cast, and it was, you know, approximately 5,000 to 7,000 votes. Whether that's, you know, somebody can go through and confirm that's another thing, but that's what I found, that she did actually have some votes.
But didn't actually get any, certainly didn't get any traction, and it was a long time before we got another female candidate. What happened to her political career and all her other many other careers, because she lived until almost 1930, what happened after the election?
Well, after the election, I mean, she nominated herself for president, you know, not once, not twice, but up to four times. So after the election, you know, she was still campaigning about free love and equal rights and this, that, and the other. But their friendship with Cornelius Vanderbilt, you know, spanned several years in that, and then he eventually died. And his son didn't want any fallout and any legal issues with Victoria or the sister, so he paid them $100,000 to leave the country. So Victoria packed up everything, got on a ship with her sister, and they moved to England. She reinvented herself, or is what we would say today, rebranded herself and started campaigning again, but was really a proponent of eugenics at that point.
Oh.
Then she met a rich, wealthy, dashing banker, Biddulph Martin, and she married him. And then she still continued on with equal rights and did a lot for children, launched schools, did, you know, some really wonderful things that, you know, for charitable, you know, causes.
Just for those who don't recognize the term eugenics, that's the movement in which that used selective breeding and sterilization and thought there were superior and inferior races for the most part. But I wonder how you feel. Before we go, Victoria, give me your thoughts on her legacy. There, many people have, you know, as you just heard Amanda mention, that she was perhaps not the best pioneer that women could have chosen in politics, at least. What's your thought on that?
I think Woodhull is a wonderful woman. I think she's not flawed. I think she is a representation of the American dream. Here is an individual that had no education, was dirt poor, and she made something of herself. And she was successful, not in one area, but several areas. She was a publisher. She was a Wall Street broker. She made money on her own. And I think women can go away from that, and men too, that to think of Woodhull is to think of to be daring, outrageous, and courageous, and to go out there and do anything that you want to do. And she represents that.
And would we have had Hillary Clinton without Victoria Woodhull?
I don't think so. I think eventually, if say Woodhull wasn't there, then we go on to the next woman and that. I think it certainly paves the trail. If Hillary Clinton was the first one, we could say the same. She's a very flawed candidate. She has a lot of baggage around her too, but Hillary's a strong, independent woman. She knew what to do to get to this point, and she's going to do a wonderful job there. So flawed or not, you take those flaws and you smooth them out and you make the best of it.
That was Victoria Lynn Weston. She directed the film America's Victoria, Remembering Victoria Woodhull, about the first woman to run for U.S. president. I spoke with Weston last April.